You don't have to look far to realize, you know, your failures, right? Every day, sometimes it brings fresh reminders that we are so weak in and of ourselves. But friend, listen carefully. And the flesh is still in us. And I think that God leaves us with the flesh, even though after we are born again, to humble us, to always remind us of our need for Him. Or else we are so, you know, we are people that they always feel like after one victory, we are strong now. Amen. And we're not going to fall. No, friend, the flesh is the flesh and the flesh is always there. Right? So before you see the freedom from the addiction, from that sinful habit, before you can have that transformation that you so desire, you need to believe there is now no condemnation. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says clearly, therefore, there is now no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus. I like the New American Standard Bible because it brings out the word no. No condemnation at all. The word no there are a number of Greek words for no or negative or negation. But this word no is a powerful negative conjunction. And the word in the Greek is ou dais. But ou dais is used when you are describing something where it leaves no exception. It shuts the door completely. There is no one or nothing at all. It shuts the door, leaves no exceptions. Therefore, there is now no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus. A lot of people, they receive condemnation in themselves. And I'm reminded of something the Lord told me as I was searching, like I said just now, last year especially, I was going into the area of like a lot of people who have heard this truth and those who have heard this truth, I see some of them, like many people, with so many testimonies, they've been transformed, but there are some who are not transformed. And I really want to see 100% results. Of course, I know that human will comes in and all that, but I'm someone who's really hungry for all that God has for us. How about you? Amen? So I asked the Lord, and He didn't answer me immediately, but one day I was praying. I remember praying, and then I heard these words, very simple words, one line after another. It came into my spirit while I was praying. I had to get up from my prayer, grab a pen, and I go to my notebook and write down verbatim what I heard in my spirit, what the Lord was saying to me. And I want to read to you because this is the same notebook that I jotted down what the Lord said to me during prayer. And this is what He said to me last year when it came to me so strong, one after another. And you know, I'll say this, and at first you'll say, well, Pastor Prince, that is nothing profound. It sounds so simple. But isn't it like God to share with you simple things and yet life transforming? Amen. It can be a pivotal point in your life when you hear it, okay? And this is what He said to me. Jesus cannot bear guilt while you are bearing guilt. Guilt cannot be in two places. Guilt cannot be in two places. Either it's on Him or it's on you. Either it's on Him or it's on you. If it's on you and you bear it, it cannot be on Him. If it's on Him, then it's not on you. Say, Pastor, this is so simple. And listen, where guilt is, there can be no restoration. If guilt is on Him, then restoration is on you. If He took your guilt, amen, restoration is coming your way. And when He shared this with me, straight away, you know, I'm reminded of the five offerings. All the five offerings in the book of Leviticus typify that one offering of Christ at the cross. It takes five Levitical offerings to show us what happened to Jesus at the cross. Of course, one of them, meal offering, actually refers to His entire life. Okay, but the rest refers to that one act of Christ on that cross. And it's called, I'm going to focus on the guilt offering. The guilt offering. So there's a guilt offering. So first of all, there's a burnt offering. And then there is a meal offering. There is a peace offering. There is a sin offering. And then there is a guilt offering. Now, the guilt offering says it like this. In Leviticus 6, it says here, talking about the asham, which is the guilt offering. If you have sinned in any of these ways, you are guilty. You must give back whatever you stole, or the money you took by extortion, or the security deposit, or the lost property you found, or anything obtained by swearing falsely. You must make restitution or restoration by paying the full price. Paying what? The full price plus an additional 20% to the person you have harmed. So in other words, 100, full price is 100% plus 20%. So it's 120% to the person you have harmed. On the same day, you must present a guilt offering. So this is actually the procedure for the guilt offering or asham. In our King James, it says trespass offering. Actually, the word there is guilt. Guilt offering. Very interesting because we have a sin offering already. Right? We have a sin offering or trespass offering. We already have a sin offering. The fourth one in Leviticus. Why should there be a guilt offering? Because many a times we feel guilty. Not just that. Because it's a real guilt that happens when you know you have done something wrong. The Bible says the only way to get rid of it back in the Old Testament is to pay back someone that you have stolen from, extorted, deceived, or whatever. You need to pay back and repair the damage with 100% value of the thing that you have stolen or robbed him of. And not only that, it says you must add 20% to it. So in other words, you must give 120%. Amen. Now, did God talk about this just for during that time? But look at what happened at the cross. Jesus took the place of the one who has trespassed, who has sinned, right? Jesus took the place as the one who has done wrong. Amen. Extorted all the lists that's mentioned here in Leviticus 6. Jesus took the place. He took your place and my place. Instead of us being there on that cross, He took our place. We did the wrong. We did the extorting. We did everything. So He took our place. By the same token, He becomes liable for all the wrong things that we have done. In other words, He will be the one to restore 120%. And God designed all this, my friend, to be so. Hallelujah. You see, because the Bible actually tells us this, that He said, Jesus said in one of the Messianic Psalms, it says in Psalms 69, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head." Now, this first part here is in reference to Jesus. How do we know it's a messianic verse referring to Jesus? Because this verse was quoted by Jesus Himself in the upper room, Last Supper. In John 15, Jesus says, "But this happened," Jesus talking here, "but this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." They hated me without a cause. Where was this written from? Taken from? From Psalm 69, "They that hate me without a cause." And notice the last part, "then I restored that which I took not away." Jesus says, "I restored that which I took not away." I took the place of the guilty one. I became liable for their sins. Therefore, I have to be the one to restore. So my friend, how that works out, but what the Lord said to me, and because I understand about the guilt offering, so when God said, I'm going to repeat this again. He said, He cannot bear guilt while you are bearing guilt. Guilt cannot be in two places. Either it's on Him or it's on you. If it's on you and you bear it, you experience it, you justify yourself why you feel guilty. I don't care whether you believe in the gospel of grace or whether you heard the teachings about the righteousness of God. But if you bear it, if you are feeling guilty, friend, then it's not on Him as far as you are concerned. It's on you. So if it's on you and you bear it, it cannot be on Him. If it's on Him, then it's not on you. In other words, guilt cannot be in two places. That's what the Lord said to me. Where guilt is, the Lord said, where guilt is, there can be no restoration. As you can see, the guilt offering, there is restoration. So what happens, friend, when you fall into sin? Do you hold yourself to it and say, "Oh man, you know, I shouldn't have done that. Oh man, oh God, please forgive me, Lord. Oh God, please forgive me." And you're feeling guilty all the time. Now the words are okay, forgive me. I'm not knocking the words, but the feeling, what are you having? What are you feeling? You are feeling guilt. You are feeling condemnation. Instead of declaring there is therefore now no condemnation. And listen, my friend, this won't produce licentiousness. Like some people think, well, you tell people when you sin, confess there's no condemnation, confess I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Yes, friend, because Jesus told the one caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It is only, look at the other. It's only when you receive no condemnation that you are empowered to go and sin no more. But the church has it backwards. Go and sin no more first. Let me see your life. Then we won't condemn you. That's not Jesus' way. Jesus told the woman who was caught in the act of adultery hours ago, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, when you receive the gift of no condemnation, while you are still in your sin, it will empower you. This truth must be preached in such a way that people will sense the no condemnation, that they will realize how much God loves them, how perfect the work of Jesus at the cross to remove all their sins, that it will empower them to reign in life. Hallelujah. Amen. And that applies also to the area of health and healing, provision. You know, when you fail in certain areas, you Lord, you know, and the voice come and say, you know what, now you can expect bad things to happen to you. Even your car will not function as well. You know, things will go wrong in your workplace. There'll be no promotion for you. There'll be, you know, just because there's a disfavor for you now because you have failed. You know what you did yesterday. You know what you did last night. Instead of turning to Jesus, you wallow in that. Now, guilt is on you, right? Guilt cannot be in two places. No, you got to look to Jesus and say, Lord, you took this guilt. You became my guilt offering. And all the while, you're falling in love with Him more and more. The more you see this, amen? And then you receive, because of this, I receive 120% restoration. Now you are entitled to that. Praise God. I receive that in Jesus' name. I receive 120% in my area of work. Yeah, believe God for that. Because whatever area that has been robbed, that's the area that the restoration will happen.
You put a tear through the veil that was keeping me from you. With the nail in your hands, your love is broken through. You put a tear through the veil that was keeping me from you. With a nail in your hands, your love is broken through. By your wounds we are healed. This is how mercy was revealed. Perfect lamb became the curse, the empty grave, the final word. How strong and how wide, how deep is your faithful love? Unchanging, unceasing, your work cannot be undone. No, you put a tear through the veil that was keeping me from you. With the nail in your hands, your love is broken through, yeah. You put a tear through the veil that was keeping me from you. With the nail in your hands, your love is broken through. I put a tear through the veil that was keeping me from you. With a nail in your hands, your love's broken through.
This excerpt is brought to you by josephprince.com. To get the full message, visit josephprince.com.